Is there anyone present in the room who wishes to testify neither for nor against? Begin.
Thank you. Good morning, Senator Carney, Representative Moonen, and distinguished members of the Joint Standing Commission on Judiciary. My name is Lisa Marchese. I'm a Deputy Attorney General, Chief of the Criminal Division in the Attorney General's Office, and I am here to testify neither for nor against LD 1603. I was the Attorney General's designee to the committee to ensure constitutionally adequate contact with counsel. District Attorney Megan Maloney was the District Attorney's representative to the committee, and the Maine Prosecutors Association joins in my testimony. We had many productive meetings under the very capable leadership of Senator Carney and former Representative Tom Harnett. It really was a fascinating process. If I can go off my script there for a moment. I'm testifying neither for or against this LD because while the Attorney General's Office and the Maine Prosecutors Association supports many of the recommendations of the committee, we have concerns about some of the provisions as they are drafted. By way of background, as you no doubt are aware, the Attorney General's Office is responsible in the state of Maine for the prosecution of all homicide cases. During the course of the investigations, law enforcement will listen to non-privileged jail calls for investigative purposes. These calls are provided to investigators through the county jail system. A few years ago, the Attorney General's Office became aware of limited instances where a prosecutor or a law enforcement officer received a privileged call from a county jail. This was troubling to everyone. Immediately, the Attorney General's Office adopted an informal process where, whether it was a prosecutor or a law enforcement officer, would immediately cease listening, and the prosecutor would notify defense counsel of what had occurred. And if it was a member of my office, they would notify me. We would then follow the lead of the defense counsel on how he or she wished to handle the situation. In those instances where law enforcement or prosecutors were provided with privileged calls, I have been assured that nothing of substance was heard. As we delved into how this could have happened, we learned that the reason we had been mistakenly provided with these privileged calls was the failure of defense attorneys' contact information to be registered with the jails so that the security system did not screen out, if you will, the calls. To be clear, and I said this many times during the hearings, prosecutors and law enforcement do not want these privileged calls. It's more of a hassle. We respect that we are not entitled to privileged calls and that all people charged with crimes in the state of Maine have a constitutional right to confidential communications with their attorneys. In July of 2020, after we had become aware, the Maine Prosecutors Association sent a letter to sheriffs and jail administrators requesting they ensure that all attorney contact information be provided to the jail. The letter was also sent to John Pelletier, then executive director of the Maine Commission on Indigent Legal Defense Services, so he could remind defense attorneys to register their contact information with the jails. Through training, the Attorney General's Office advised homicide detectives how to proceed in the event they were inadvertently provided privileged jail calls. LD 1603 directs the Attorney General and District Attorney's Offices to adopt a written policy to protect and ensure confidential attorney-client communications. It also requires the Attorney General's Office to develop a training program by January 1, 2024 for state, county, and municipal law enforcement officers who, as part of a criminal investigation, inadvertently hear confidential attorney-client communications. Basically, the language codifies in statute what is informally being done, and it assures the public that prosecutors take the confidential attorney-client communication seriously, and we see no problem codifying that in statute. I would ask this committee to reconsider the language in section A7. And A7 is that section which has been talked about a little bit here today. which reads that any person who accesses, monitors, records, copies, transmits, or receives a copy of the communication is disqualified from participating in an investigation and from appearing as a witness in the proceeding if the jail or correctional facility had notice of the attorney's name. When this recommendation was made to the committee, the vote was 7 in favor, 6 opposed, and 3 members were absent. And as you can see, there was not consensus in the committee. This provision does not recognize the remedy that currently exists with the courts in the form of a motion to exclude, otherwise known as a motion in limine, or a motion to dismiss. Neither prosecution nor law enforcement want a detective or a prosecutor to be compromised by being in possession of privileged information. When these situations have come up in the past, the prosecutor's response has been immediate and transparent. To automatically remove a homicide detective from a murder case that he or she has worked right from the beginning because they inadvertently come into possession of a privileged call, and under this language, whether heard or not, they are then excluded from testifying or even being part of the investigation any further. Even if they heard nothing of substance, even if they didn't listen to it. And I would suggest this is a broad blanket approach when there are court remedies available that could consider each fact pattern on a case-by-case basis in order to tailor an appropriate response. As currently written, this statute could potentially put a serious case in jeopardy and punish the detective and the state police for using a permissible investigative technique, and could ultimately mean that key evidence, such as a confession even, would not be permissible. Additionally, even defense counsel under this language would be precluded from calling the officer. And there are times when defense counsel wants to call a police officer as a witness. I would respectfully submit it is the presiding justice who should decide if there is a constitutional violation and what the appropriate remedy should be. I would also like to raise concerns about Section A12, which requires a complete block of instruction at the basic law enforcement training program on attorney-client communications. If you look at Title 25, there is limited core curriculum requirements for the basic school. And while attorney-client communications is very important, there is limited time for law enforcement instruction at the Board of Trustees and those intimately involved with the curriculum. I would submit to you are in the best position to prioritize what is taught. The proposed language mandates training by the AG's office and DA's office for all law enforcement officers in the state who may inadvertently hear confidential attorney-client communications. Those officers who listen to jail calls will be subject to the training program designed by our office. I would submit this is the most effective point to try in time to train those officers. I thank you for your time and consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much, Deputy AG Marchese. Are there questions? Representative Brackett.